If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. My plan is we'll probably finish Galatians within the next 2 weeks. After that, it will be the holiday, and I'm going to either start slowly Ephesians or treat the holiday, since we don't have a Christmas tree program this year, I may do a little bit more in terms of the Christmas message. I'm not sure yet. But we'll soon be moving to the book of Ephesians in what we plan. We left off last week and the week before talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It is unfortunate that there are chapters and verses in your Bible. Let me tell you how chapters and verses got there. Paul, when he wrote all of these epistles, when all of the men who inscripturated the books of the New Testament, do you know what they did? They wrote all in capital letters with no word spacing in between. Why would they do that? Well, think about what the great luxury you have. When our kids start school every year, we go on our annual trek to Walmart or now to the college bookstore, and there they have tons of paper pens. I mean massive quantities. And kids can write a little bit on a piece of paper, look at it and go, I don't like it, scrunch it up. And the military-industrial complex loves that because the more paper you buy, the more the economy goes well. Well, in those days, people were poor and paper, or actually papyrus, was rare. And so when they got a piece of papyrus, the largest that they could write were they could put 30 sheets about this size together. And because it was expensive, the writers would write all in block letters, all words together. You wouldn't dare skip. Why? Because you'd have to buy another sheet of papyrus, and that's expensive. So years later, after Paul wrote these epistles, somebody went in and started putting in chapters and verses. Years after, hundreds of years after. And some of these people knew what they were doing. And some of the people that put this stuff in, I have no idea why they did what they did. Maybe they didn't even read the original. I don't know. But why am I saying that is the division, at least in my Bible, of chapter 6 from chapter 5 shouldn't be there. You should put 6:1 right up against verse 26 of chapter 5. And you should put chapter 6:6 up against 6:5. There is no break in thought. Paul is not breaking his thought. What's he been talking about? Under the new covenant, you have, as part and parcel of the new covenant, you have been given the indwelling power and presence of God's Spirit. That's what's different about the old Mosaic system. They were told everything they needed to do, and they had no empowerment to do it. God did that on purpose to teach people of their sin nature, and that God had to solve that sin nature. And he's been talking about in a church under the new covenant, if that church and its people sow to the flesh, certain things will be reaped. And by the way, you get into a legalistic church and they'll bite and devour one another. In 14 and 15 of chapter 5, we've talked about that. You get into a church that is not paying attention to the power of the Holy Spirit, and there will be all sorts of outburst anger in any church that has that kind of activity, negativity that goes on. The Holy Spirit is not active in a church like that. Something has quenched his power in that church. I've seen many churches like that because they're not allowing the power of God's Spirit under the new covenant, they're not yielding to the power of God's Spirit. That's why we need God's Spirit. And then we went into the fruit of the Spirit. In contrast to when the Spirit has been quenched and there's dissension and backbiting and all sorts of stuff. Have you been in a church like that? The more legalistic a church is, the more that church will be like that, what Paul says. But when the Spirit is active and people are conscious of the Holy Spirit and His power in the church, then there's going to be the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about that. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness. And you can just ask yourself, you want a Spirit-filled church? You want a Spirit-filled church? Just go to some church for a while and see and wait to see how people are. And you'll see if the Spirit is active or not by how the fruit in the congregation appears. And Paul continued in 6:1 his discussion of the evidence of the Spirit. And we found last week that in 6:1 through 5, true Spirit-filled and controlled people are merciful. And when someone is caught in sin, you know what they do? They restore. Now, that's not always easy because you got these, sometimes there's continuation in sin, and we don't want it to be cheap forgiveness or cheap love. But at the same time, you who are spiritual, Paul said, restore people when they're caught in it. There's a kindness and a love. And when we see someone who has fallen, because we don't want to be tested in that way, Paul said, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. How come so many churches are not gentle? I think you're right. They're afraid if they don't get harsh, then it'll be considered weakness. But God wants us to be gentle Christians. Forgiving, restoring, gentle. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not spouting scripture verses off to people. That is not a sign that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit softens a person to where they are kind and gentle. That's not easy to do, and that's why you need the Holy Spirit to do that. That's what he is still continuing to talk about here. And he goes on what marks in 6 through 10, what are further signs that you have the Holy Spirit in your life. You're not harsh. There are certain fruits that go on. And in verse 6, he continues, and let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. You know what he's saying? Be kind to teachers of the word of God. Sandy Hatmaker goes out with the kids every Sunday. I don't know of a Sunday that Sandy has really much been in church. And the response of the congregation that are Spirit-filled for people that labor at the Word of God and teaching should be one of appreciation to people who, there are many of you. Catherine does the precious White Cross. She labors to help people. This is what it's saying. In other words, if you're Spirit-filled, people that labor and do things for the church should be appreciated. They don't do it for, hopefully, attention. They do it, and the people who are Spirit-filled, that's what it says. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. There's a kindness. There's an appreciation that the Spirit produces in people. Next, Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. If you're kind with people, guess what you'll reap? If you're loving and forgiving, guess what you'll reap? And the preacher sets the tone for it. I'm sorry, but every church that has a harshness to it, I'm going to blame it not on the people. I'm going to blame it on the preacher. The preacher sets the tone for his people. If the preacher is a rabid idiot, always pounding the pulpit, showing no love and no compassion, then his people will reflect that. And there's a lot of idiots. By the way, it takes no anything to be a preacher. Get on the internet, spend $100, and somebody in their group will give you a preacher's license. There's no qualifications. Don't go to a doctor. A physician can't do that. They're licensed. Even a chiropractor has to have a license. But preachers, anybody can call themselves a preacher. Anybody can get up, and anybody can form their own cult. And there's a lot of people that are willing to follow these idiots. Here he is saying, whatever you sow will come back at you. Everybody loves mercy given to them, don't they? If you want it. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit has the fruit of the Spirit, shows all of these wonderful characteristics of goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. God's going to make sure, the Holy Spirit will make sure that that comes back to you. So how do you want to be treated? It's, in other words, it's another statement of the golden rule. How do you want to be treated? Then treat people through the power that the Holy Spirit gives you the same way. I don't give the church good marks on this. I don't think churches fully evaluate themselves in this area. I think that they cast a blind eye to how they're treating people. If you are like Jesus with people, then that will reflect in how people respond to you. He goes on. And let us not lose heart in doing good. You know what that means? Even when you say and you grit your teeth and you say, Lord, through your Spirit, I'm going to be kind and gentle. I want that to come back as a fruit of the Holy Spirit toward me. You know what? Dollars to donuts are that you're going to grow weary doing that. You know why? Because you're not going to get it immediately back. It doesn't happen immediately. He says, and let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, that word notes that when God wants it to happen, when you display the fruits of the Spirit, even among people that are very difficult, do you live among difficult people? I'm going to tell you a story. Years ago, when I first got here we go with the stories. A rumor started that I was going to sell the church, pocket the money in my own bank account. I know who started that rumor. They're not here anymore. That was totally and completely a lie. But there were people that believed it. As a matter of fact, people so believed it, they asked the previous pastor of this church to come back and intervene that I was going to steal the money. And they met at a house. But you know what? The good people are here. and the people that would do such a thing, there were many times in which I felt like leaving. But there's a great group here now. Not only that, but the same group, if I've gotten it right, and I think I have, said that I refused a funeral at this church. Didn't happen. None of us refused a funeral at this church of these people that were not formally here. Why do I bring this up? Because I'll tell you something. There can be some very difficult people who say things, and God has to keep reminding us all, in due time, God will honor that we don't become like the devil himself toward people that would spread these kind of rumors and lies. I can't say that I passed it well. I'll give myself a D minus in how I handled it. But what did we reap? We've got a wonderful, precious church. And I wouldn't trade any of my people at the church for any of the people that left. There's no perfect church, but this is a wonderful little group who really are good people who do good things and kind things to people. And the Lord says He'll honor us if we sow in due time, being kind and gentle, the Lord will honor what happens. So he says this, don't grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, while the Lord allows, you know, it's a privilege to be a church. Do you know there may be a day when Ralph was telling me that his precious kids, their church, closed their doors, sold the building. Where's Ralph? Ralph, didn't they?
Yep. Today's the last day of service.
Okay. God is the one that removes lampstands. While we have the opportunity, and pray for that precious church, let's make sure that while we have an opportunity as a church, that we're compassionate, merciful, filled with the fruit of the Spirit, until God says, okay, Grace Bible Church, your time is over. Until then, we will please God in every way we can. And I'll tell you something, He has provided for this precious little church. We had a mortgage. God paid it off. Did you know that? Somebody gave a little bit to the church when they went to glory. We were able to remodel. It's like manna from heaven. God has given us things, and we have very little resources as a church as a whole. Most of you are precious widows. I'm surprised we have any money for the budget, and that's a good thing because then we have to depend upon God. But it says here, while we have the opportunity, while God says, I'm not finished with Grace Bible Church, let's do good. That's what we should be our goal as a church. How can we be good to people? While the Lord keeps the lights on, because we can pay the lights and are debt-free in terms of anything, our habit should be, let's do good to people. Let's be kind as Christians. I just, be honest with you, there's a lot of churches I wouldn't want to be a part of. You know, if I leave here, I don't think I'll ever go to church again. I'm being honest. Because it would take me, I'm too old to find a church that where there are good, kind Christian people who, honestly, this group is the type that does those. I honestly want to commend you. This church has a heart for doing good for people. I haven't found that in many churches I've been. So when you throw me out, I'm going to have bedside Baptist with Pastor Sheets. You are very kind. And the Bible promises that while God has given us this opportunity, let's do good to all men. Notice he says all. That doesn't mean, you know, that's what, listen to me, family nights, you know what they're for? Invite your unsaved friends to family night. Religious people, most of them, they see this stereotypical TBN crazy preachers on. They need to see that Christians are okay. That they're not nuts. Well, religious people are nuts, but they need to see. That's why we want to do good. Invite those people to family night so they can see that they don't, that not all religious people are weird. There's a lot of them that are, aren't there? I have a list. Let us do good to all men and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So what's the goal of a church? Be filled with the Spirit while God has opportunity, while God gives us opportunity, display the fruit of the Spirit, love, patience, as best we can. None of us are perfect. But we do that because we exemplify Jesus in our life, do we not? Shouldn't there be, for Christians who love to preach at people, shouldn't there be the proof of how we behave with one another? In other words, Christians do a lot of talking, but we all need to do a lot of walking. And what he's saying in this passage as we wrap this up on the fruit of the Spirit is that if the Spirit is evident in a person's life or in the life of the church, there will be fruit, there will be evidence. And the goal of a church is to do good to people, not to do evil things to people or to be harsh and unloving to people. This is a sign that the Spirit indwells a congregation. That there's a love and there's a gentleness to the people. And I'll be honest with you, I've been raised in the church since I was 7, and I got to be honest, this is a rarity in church as a whole. In my experience. I'll limit it to my experience. Because not everyone who mentions the name of Jesus Christ truly knows Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, while God gives us the opportunity, while our church is given the privilege, the fruit of the Spirit means we do good to all men, and especially every precious soul that the Lord brings our way to be a part of our congregation. That's the evidence of God's Spirit among us. And that's what he's been saying throughout this whole thing. The new covenant brings a change. Now, we're not going to be perfect in that change. But there will be a definite mark of God's Spirit in a life of a truly born-again believer. And it won't be easy because you'll need God's power to flow through you to help you do good to everyone.